listeners, welcome to Advanced Youth Radio. I hope you enjoyed that musical break. We've been having some really nice songs going on today. It is Monday and it is a Power Drive show. You're welcome. We're great to have you. Hope you guys had a great weekend. On this beautiful evening, we have the Connecting Borders show that we usually have every Monday. And I hope you're excited as I'm excited to have that today. We are today talking about identities and understanding identities, lessons from the region, which should be an interesting conversation. I'd like to welcome you again to Connecting Borders. My name is Nyajak Maya, and unfortunately, my co-host, sweetheart Samro Lupai, is not there today. The young man got married. The young man tied the knot. So congratulations to Samro and Ella, guys. I hope you're listening. We love you, and we're sending lots of love from the radio today. To jump right into our show, Connecting Borders is a show that bridges existing gaps between people, entities, cultures, nationalities, and backgrounds. And we're hoping that this show will be able to create a space and spark conversations that people can have on their day-to-day basis and that will hopefully help to move this country forward. So on today's episode, as we talk about understanding identities, our focus is also to try and unpack what we feel is the social cold war that is happening between people. Apparently, there's this segregation of people where we say Nairobians, Katumas, Ugandans, this East Africans, this Sudans. It is something that we would like to unpack slowly and also just start to realize how can we take that from a negative to a positive. And so, there are a lot of assumptions. There are also stereotypes. But I think this will be a good wake-up call for us to try and discuss this as we move forward. And then hopefully we can be able to also create recommendations as we go on. Now, of course, I cannot discuss this by myself. I have to add people. I have to add voices. And it is my great pleasure to have two wonderful guests today. We have Dave Bobato, which I'm sure you guys hear every morning. Dave was laughing just a little bit shortly. He's like, why am I on the other side of the mic? I was like, it's my turn today.
Yeah, you know, I just feel weird this side of the microphone. I'm so much used to sitting where you were, and then I look at people this side. But today is the opposite. Anyway, I'm glad.
Today's his turn.
Yeah.
We also have Yar Silar, who is a lawyer. But today, she's coming to... Are you coming to give us your insights as a lawyer?
No, I'm not.
Why?
I'm actually coming to give you insights as someone who's lived in both Nairobi and in Khartoum.
That's true. So as we unpack this, guys, please, our Facebook Live has gone up. You can watch us on Facebook Live. You can share this with your friends. Listen to us on 99.9 FM. But also our phone lines are now open, which I am so excited because we couldn't have that earlier. Now we get to hear your voices. You can bring in your inputs as we slowly start to unpack this. The number is 0922-990-990. I'll say that once again, 0922-990-990. So, guys, we dive in.
Definitely, I'm more than excited to do that.
My first question is, do you believe there's a social cold war?
Who should go first? No, I think you should go first because you're representing two people.
Yeah, you can go
people.
First.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a social cold war. I think it's more of a misunderstanding because it's prejudices. People are raised differently, and where you're raised determines a lot of things. So I think we look at people differently from... We look at people in a way that determines how they've been brought up.
Mm.
For instance, how you talk, how you dress, how you behave, is all dependent on where you're raised. I'd probably get angry when I hear the likes of Dave saying Bambi. What is Bambi, you know? So where you're raised has a pretty much big influence on the things you do. So it's not necessarily a cold war. It's just not looking at things from a different point of view.
Yeah.
Because I think even families, the way I'm raised is not the way you're raised, is not the way she's raised. But that doesn't mean we're not human, you know? You get what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yes,
sure.
Mr. Bambi.
Now, okay, for today I have that name, since I'm representing the people that often say Bambi. All right, starting from the question that you just asked, whether this is a Cold War or not, much as I say that it's just a matter of a difference between where we grew up or how we were raised, I would agree to use the word, or to use the context of the word Cold War, because it's not that we are really fighting, but we are fighting ourselves. And not that we really hate each other, but we just don't like each other sometimes. And she has explained it more because it is, I believe we look at how I dress and you be like, that dressing is not good. It's not good because you were brought up with the idea that that dressing is not good. But my parents, perhaps, or the society in which I grew up from says, well, it's okay, you can dress and have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the end of the day, we end up conflicting ideas. In other words, we have conflicting ideas of which, if not well reconciled, can lead to now the physical.
I mean, it's understanding that people are going to have issues regardless.
Yeah.
Because we understand that conflict is inevitable.
Yeah.
I think before I move on to a different question, I think I wanted to just scroll back a little bit because our topic is understanding identity.
Sure.
So I think I also want to hear from you just a little bit about identity.
Yeah.
And maybe how do you define identity? How do you identify?
All right. I think
before I can even take you any further.
Sure. Identity. I think it's who I believe or who I, my mental self tells me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
My identity is defined by how I think, how I walk, and what I was told not to do. Those all sums up to be who identifies or what identifies me at the end of the day. So if I define myself as someone who is loving, my mental self tells me that you're supposed to love. In that way, I manifest what I believe in. Or in simple terms, I can say identity is what you believe in, or at least what you want people to believe about you.
Mm-hmm.
If not necessarily, if they will not accept it still, you insist, this is me. If they don't want to believe it, you still say, this is me, that's my identity. You pick it or you leave it. That.
I agree with him. Identity is who I am. So I identify as a South Sudanese, despite the fact that I might not have been raised and stayed in this country, but I identify as a South Sudanese. So identity is who you are, that's what I'd say. Identify as Junubin. I think that's what we both agree on.
Yeah, and I think you can have multiple facets of what your identity is. Your identity is not literally monotonous.
It's not, that's true.
Yeah.
So it's definitely easier for people to have different versions of themselves, which will entirely shape who they are and what they identify with.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place to move on from, because at the end of the day, it's almost like right now we are coming back as South Sudanese.
Yeah.
And you have people who want to propagate this notion that, you're not South Sudanese enough. Yes. And then when we hear the band, we're using the banana.
I think.
And then also on the other end, we hear people saying, guy.
But I will go with the first or the former that you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is much more common than the later.
Yeah.
That says you're not somehow South Sudanese. You look South Sudanese, but you're not South Sudanese.
Because of how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It comes back to she defined that. She says one of the identities she has is she's a South Sudanese.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we come and look at who South Sudanese is, there are so many things there as well that break down. In simple terms, if we are to identify ourselves on a country level, we can say we are South Sudanese.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we are looking at the continental level, they would say these are East Africans.
Mm.
If we look at the global level, they say these are Africans. And if we look at the human level, they say these are humans. In humans still, so identity really is very broad. It's nothing specific there. So the problem comes when we go to the specifications of the identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's when some people disagree.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting, honestly, because for me,
I never wanted to go to the other part that says that you don't
look.
No, actually, I'm definitely going to ask that. I'm definitely going to ask that because for me, I also want to know, like, how was your experience? You know, we've been people who have been raised outside of many of them have been to South Sudan before. You know, it's not like they're coming for the first time and then there's a whole culture shock. There's people who have over time come into the country. Yeah. But then I think it's after 2011 that people mainly stayed, you know, or stayed longer periods of time.
Yeah.
So what was your experience coming back to South Sudan, coming back to Juba or maybe your hometown?
Okay.
What is your experience? What did you hear from your peers, your family members?
All right. I don't know if I should start from the first day I came to Juba, or I should start from the point that I was conscious to the world. You know, when the first time I came to Juba, I was still a child, I would say so. And that was in 2010, very, very much of recent. And I just finished.
That was 10 years ago.
Only 10 years ago.
So you can't say you were still a child.
No, I was a child. I was still in my P7 vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still a kid.
So much can happen in 10 years.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so I was still a child, so I will not really say there was anything much I would pick an experience from there.
Mm-hmm.
But because one of the things when we came, it was a period for Christmas, and you know, being a young person, you only play, you don't think about anything. But perhaps I will come into the second dwelling when I got back to Juba. That is when now I gained my consciousness, or I began to understand what life is, or how life moves. That be 2014. That's when I came back to Juba. That was now after my senior four, and that's when I came back to Juba. And then let me start the experience from even where I was in Uganda at a school. Well, when I told them I was a South Sudanese, they were arguing. They didn't know about South Sudanese, but they denied that I was a South Sudanese. They kind of said, well, you are a northern, someone from northern Uganda. Reasons is you're dark-skinned, you're short.
Ah.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Yeah.
So that started to show me that, well, South Sudan has been portrayed by a different measurement. Or at least people have been blinded by that fact. So when I got back to Juba, well, in 2014, I didn't really do much, but at the experience of knowing that you are dark-skinned, but if I'm compared to some of our people, I may say I'm chocolate. So at the end of the day as well, I'm a short guy.
Chocolate?
Yeah, I was tiny also. So I've gained weight now. So I've gained weight now. I was also short. That meant I had a lot of factors that were limiting me, because even our very own South Sudanese believe that you must be tall somehow and you must be dark-skinned somehow. And then a young kid, you're moving along the way. The worst thing is I didn't know Arabic. After now, I still know very little. So that was the biggest challenge, Arabic, actually. If you didn't know Arabic, you can never convince anyone you are a South Sudanese.
Mm-hmm.
So it is discriminatory, I can say so.
Yeah, and actually that is something I want to touch on later on, because I feel like we've also moved on to a situation where it's not just, are you coming from Kenya, are you coming from Uganda? Yeah. It's also now, can you speak Arabic?
Yeah.
Oh, this one speaks English.
This one speaks, exactly.
Yeah. But you can go ahead, answer.
I think, you know, where you grow up determines your language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the people who've come from Khartoum, they are actually judged by the fact that they cannot speak English, which I think
which is
really wrong, because a language is for purposes of communication.
That's
the
right.
Language of instruction in Khartoum is Arabic.
Yeah.
The few schools that actually were teaching English were pretty expensive, considering the fact that most South Sudanese were not stable because of the war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most parents could not afford to take their schools to Arabic, to English schools. Schools where the language of instruction was English.
Yeah.
So judging someone by the language they speak is pretty wrong.
Yeah.
it doesn't take away the fact that they're also intelligent.
Mm.
It doesn't take away the fact that they also graduated, just like someone who came from Kenya,
sure.
from Uganda,
sure.
from the US, from the UK.
Mm.
I think it's all about understanding how we can harmoniously live together.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
we can harmoniously be able to... Mm. I am from Kenya, you are from Uganda, she is from Khartoum.
Yeah.
What do we bring on the table?
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing the culture,
mm.
for instance.
Yeah.
In every other culture, there mm. is, there's literally, there's something that you can pick that is positive.
Yeah.
You can pick the positives from Uganda.
Mm.
I can pick the positives from Kenya. She can pick the positives from Khartoum.
Mm.
We fuse it together and we'll have a harmonious way of doing our things. So
yeah.
I think we need to get away from the fact that if someone does not speak English, they speak Arabic only, then
mm.
they need to be judged.
Mm.
And
yeah.
we also need to look at it from a different point of view, because this is, the people who speak English judge the people who speak Arabic.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, the ones from Khartoum who know Arabic and someone else does not know Arabic also judge the people who don't know Arabic. They see you as Beledi. Zol, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're from the village
mm-hmm.
just
yeah.
because you do not know Arabic.
Yeah.
So I think we actually just need to understand that language does not take away whatever you have to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would love to add something there. You know, the challenge even with the fact of judging by language
mm-hmm.
is that when you get to the people who speak English themselves,
mm-hmm.
they now go into accent.
Mm.
How is your accent?
Yes.
How is your English accent? How is your Arabic accent? Which Arabic do you speak? I speak Arabic Khartoum, I speak Arabic
Juba,
I speak Arabic Egypt, Libya,
mm-hmm.
and then, so at the end of the day, it's realized that it's an endless disagreement.
So basically, we're just looking for more ways to argue.
Yeah, we're looking for ways of dividing ourselves
mm-hmm.
or classifying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can, please pardon me, but let me go to the concept of humanity a little bit. Humanity operates on the basis of classification.
Mm-hmm.
Classifying yourself that you want to put yourself up higher than
others.
The other. That's the instinct that we were given right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have the ratings of the best hunter from our grandies. The best hunter was more respected. Now, that's why even after today, we still want people to be gigantic. We want them to be tall. The perception is you will have strength, you have agility, and when you have that agility, well, you are respected. At the end of the day, in each of our factors that we shall look at, it's nothing other than just classifying and knowing who is the best,
mm.
who is the super one, who is the subordinate, and who are the lowest. And when you know that, the purpose is for you to know yourself, because when you know, you become subject to the higher authority. So in simple terms, in the whole thing, or the whole problem here is people want to show that I am the higher one, so you should pay your subordinates to me. You should pay the respect to me. I speak better English than you. I speak better Arabic than you. Or if we now go into the two languages, someone will say Arabic is better than English. And then I will say, wait a moment. How do you compare Arabic to English? So at the end of the day, it's really me saying mine is better.
Exactly, because
me.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So because I know English, English is better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
I think for me, it goes down to lack of exposure.
Mm.
Mm.
You'd probably find the people who are judging someone based on their language are people who've pretty much not been exposed.
Because
if you are exposed, then you get a taste of different cultures.
Yeah.
And that's why you'd find... not speaking for myself, I'm speaking for all the other people out there.
Yeah.
The people who've lived both in East Africa and in Khartoum rarely judge.
Yeah.
Because they... You seem to disagree with me, Nyada.
No. No.
Your facial expressions. They rarely judge because they've had a feel of both cultures.
Mm.
And they know what to pick and what not to pick. So it's purely lack of exposure
mm.
from my point of view. I
mm.
think it's purely... lack
yeah.
of exposure, because then if you are exposed and you know you've interacted with someone,
yeah,
you understand people are different.
People are different way.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you don't have that exposure and you only know guy, huyu ni nani in Swahili, you know? And then someone comes and talks to you in Arabic and you're looking at them, you're wondering, who are you? So it's purely lack of exposure, which also goes down to even here in South Sudan, amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are people who see someone from the Equatorian region and they're like, nyam nyam.
Yeah.
Or they see someone...
It's a lot of hate speech going
on. It's because most of these people have not interacted with the other people within the country.
Mm.
So they do not know who this person is.
Yeah.
It goes back to lack of identity. You do not know who is your neighbor. You do not know who borders who.
Yeah.
So it's just purely, my point of view, lack of exposure.
Yeah. Oof.
It's a lot, actually, is what it is. And I think before we move on, because also later on we'll try and look into the way forward and what are some of the recommendations that we have across different levels in order to use this. And also a point that you guys had already mentioned earlier was that how can we take the negatives, turn them into positives, but also how can we take the positives? Because, I mean, us coming out of this countries and cultures, we have learned something.
Yeah.
Like, we were not just stagnant beings who were just roaming around that space.
Yeah.
And so for many people, it wasn't optional. I'm sure there's several South Sudanese who cursed the day they had to go to a different country far away from home.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I've definitely heard, and it's something I experienced as well, is coming back to South Sudan is just like, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
It's like saying, I'm home.
Yeah, home sweet home.
Whether you know it or not, logically, mentally, even your body's just like, I'm home. You identify, you see people who look like you, people who understand you.
Yeah.
So it's a whole broad spectrum. So before we move on, I just wanted us to quickly just look at, I'm trying to understand, what are some of the stereotypes that exist? Because also those are some of the things that we have to crush.
Yeah.
So what are some of the stereotypes that exist? I don't know why they're laughing.
I'm laughing because to the minute someone speaks Swahili, you're seen as this Kenyan thieves.
That is a new one for me.
No. You're seen as, you know, because of the Kenyan culture.
I know. Yeah.
So you're seen as this Kenyan thieves, they're drunkards.
Yeah.
So it's the narrative that they have.
The narrative that they have.
Yeah.
And then whenever someone speaks Arabic, I think the first thing that goes through people's mind is Muslimin.
Mm-hmm.
Muslimin, backwards.
Yeah.
Islamization.
Yeah.
So the stereotypes are actually many. I can go on and on. But then we look at the negatives most of the times. So we never look at the positives. And then when you see the Bambis and the Banangis, you're looking at them and you're thinking, oh my goodness, these guys are so slow. You know, you're wondering, what are they bringing on the table? Because we have a narrative that Ugandans are naturally, sorry to use the word, daft.
Yeah.
We have a narrative that Ugandans are daft. So when you see someone coming from Uganda, the first thing that comes to your mind is, can I have a proper conversation with this person? Or are they the Matoke-ish people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'll let Bambi respond.
I'm actually going to sanction that at this point, because the number of times she's called Dave Bambi.
Yeah, she's called him.
I will have to do a whole episode on that.
Well, that's okay. She has mentioned one of the narratives that goes with the Swahili speaking or Kenyan people that are perhaps thieves.
Conmen.
Yeah. But I think also the most people, if you're from Uganda, they think you're from Central. You're from Central, they think you must have been affiliated with the Bagandans. And that means you're also a thug because they believe they love money and they'll use whatever possible way to get the money that they want, either in a crafty way or lawyer way. But regardless, they will still seek to find out that best alternative. They also believe that we just like partying and wasting, you know, our times. We want to party. We want to just club like we know nothing. We believe that people from the East African community, we just know nothing. Or what we got there was not sufficient to qualify us to be humans or to qualify us to be people that deserve some respect or deserve some seat on the table.
Mm-hmm.
That is so common. That's one of the most piercing things that I don't like. Even in education, they believe our education there is not sufficient to give us anything. Like one time, I have a far brother, I don't know if that is right, but a brother in the family. So we sat down one evening, we were having supper, and then the issue of education came up. So he was like, you be there, David, Gali David, Yala, you're there thinking you have studied. Your education there was useless. I was like, why? So you come to Juba University and get the real teaching. For example, we spend only 4 years in secondary. And do you know what we study in 4 years? The whole secondary. Meanwhile, you're there wasting 6 years in secondary. I was like, okay, that's a good shot. But then I looked at the angle where he was coming from. I wanted to respond. I think I responded once, but his reply was not going to give us any benefit.
Mm.
So I said, all right, so... okay, let's just get this solution. Let's get this problem and we solve it. Let's see the difference where that will be. So just referring to that example, that is one of the things that as well they consider. And they believe our education there sometimes is wasted. I don't know if that is right, which I disagree. But I think that's one of the things as well that's available in the world there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think for me, it has definitely been an interesting experience, because also I've definitely gone through the ups and downs. Mm. And a lot of times people will assume that I'm Kenyan, even before I speak Swahili,
yeah.
Which I find very awkward.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you a story. Literally, one time a border guy,
yeah.
This guy insisted on speaking Swahili the whole way. But you know, I'm also hard-headed.
Yeah.
I spoke Arabic the whole way.
How did you understand?
I spoke Arabic the whole way. And for me, I'm like, okay, how did you understand?
Yeah.
You know? But then, and then it's a kind of a way where people are not welcoming to the fact that there are other cultures.
Yeah.
And as Yar was saying, the lack of exposure as well is really big.
Yeah. Mm.
Because people only... If you're not exposed, you live in the bubble, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because...
You cannot do what you don't know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You cannot say what you don't know. You cannot speak from a perspective which you don't know.
Sure.
You know, it's blissful ignorance. Which, at the same time, it's like, okay, I have chats with border guys.
Mm.
I don't know how this happens, but it just happens. Because... I have another situation where this other border guy,
yeah.
He was actually much more open,
yeah.
And we had an open conversation about the situation.
Mm.
Because the guy was surprised that I speak Arabic, I speak English.
Yeah.
He's like, who's this guy with so many languages,
uh-huh.
You know? And then he said, he was like, I honestly thought, it was actually hilarious. He was like, I thought it a jam in Bele Tabu Sevenida. Let me tell you, I laughed for like 10 minutes. This guy is like, and then, but then it was great, because also I was like, so it was also a fun interactive, you know, discussion where it's just like, and I was telling him that people are multifaceted, like,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Because someone knows something else doesn't mean that they don't know other things.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that we are, we start to spark that conversation, and that's also why I wanted this show to happen today.
Yeah. I think the issue of speaking language on far side is very common.
Mm.
Oftentimes, because I'm perfecting my Arabic,
mm-hmm.
I want to speak in Arabic to people I don't know.
Mm.
Unfortunately, each time I do that, they respond to me in English and yet have not spoken English.
Mm-hmm.
So I question my mind and be like, okay.
Did I say the right thing?
The question is actually, why do you they think I speak English?
Yeah, the way they look, the way they view you as a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why do they have to respond in English yet I've asked you in Arabic? Actually, that is one of the most offending things to me. If I ask you in one language and I know that you speak that language.
Don't respond back in another language.
Different.
Yeah, and then you respond back in a different language.
Yes.
It's very annoying. Very annoying.
Wow. Guys, I hope you're listening. And we want to hear from you. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 8. This is Advanced Youth Radio. You're listening to the Connecting Borders show. Today we are talking about understanding identities, lessons from the region. How can we take the experiences that we've had in different countries, in different places, and how can we turn that into a positive? I'll always say this and I'll say it again. South Sudan has a unique opportunity to be a country that is so different. Which other country do you know that had their independence this late? But we have the opportunity to turn everything around.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to create a new narrative for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, a lot of our people also focus more about what other people have to say than what we have to say. Yeah. We have to look into ourselves. Are we happy with ourselves? Are we happy with our country? Are we happy with the way that we're going? Mm. Because at the end of the day, we are the leaders. Not about the leaders of tomorrow, but it is our land and we are each other's people.
Yeah.
So it is important that we enforce cultures that are positive and not just negative.
Yeah.
So we have a live stream going on Facebook. Please put in your comments. Our phone lines are open. If you'd like to call and give us your comment, please do that as well. The number is 0922-990-990. I'll say that again, 0922-990-990. Quickly, before we get back into the conversation, I see a few people on our Facebook Lives, so let me shout them out. I see Gariga Martin, who's catching us live from Kampala. Hi, Gariga. How's Kampala? Hope you're all well. I see Olava DeFrank from Australia. Hi, guys, from the other side of the pond. So great to hear from you. We have Gariga who says, identity is about culture, country, or origin. Behavior, way of talking defines for me identity. Okay, we have Deng Blackstar who says, hi. Hi, Deng. How are you doing? We have Quinine De Amol who says, catching you from Adjumani. Wow. Hi, people in Adjumani. We have someone named Olwi Nelly who's saying, I like the conversations. Congratulations, Boboto. We have Emmanuel Monchol Akop who says, great observation. He also says, Yar is right. Some sort of social stigmatization is attached to vocal expression in each country we all had a background with.
Hmm.
Wow, that's nice. So thank you for your comments. Keep checking in with us as we continue with the discussion. So now I want to move on a little bit as we look into how do we turn this positives into a negative. What did I just say?
Yeah, you said opposite. How do we turn the negatives to positives?
I was like, how did I just say? How do we turn the negatives into positives?
Yeah.
And how, as South Sudanese, can we claim our identity as South Sudanese?
All right. I think I'll let us start first.
You guys, see a gentleman up in this place.
I swear. I think it goes down to getting to know and understand that we're different. And as you said, South Sudan is one of the youngest countries, so it means very many people are coming from different sides of the world. We have people coming from Khartoum, people coming from Nairobi, Uganda, Adjumani, wherever. We have people coming from everywhere. So I think it's bottom line getting to know and understand that we're a culturally diverse country.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us have just moved back into this country.
Yeah.
So there are things that we can pick from all these other places that we've been to, the positives. Even with our cultures, there's the positives that we can retain and the negatives that we can put aside. So, for example, I'll say what I loved about being in Khartoum is the community setting. It's something that is not in East African countries. Khartoum, Nyadak, I'm sure you're familiar with this, is when you move into a neighborhood, there's that initiative of getting to know you, of just, it's not an individualism
kind of it's a communal society.
It's a communal society.
Yeah.
Which is unlike East Africa. Mm. East Africa, we don't have that communal way of living. But Khartoum, children would know each other, and even raising your children is a communal thing.
Yeah.
I would see, for instance, I'm a parent, and I would see Nyadak's child, and I'd be, hey, my daughter, my son, whatever you're doing is mm-hmm. wrong. Mm-hmm. This is not something that is done within the East African settings. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to our cultures.
Yeah.
We are a communal, as South Sudanese, we're a communal society. Mm-hmm. So if we can retain most of these things and just use them to yeah. our advantage, because it's all about the fusion and diffusion of different cultures
yeah.
To make our society a better place.
Mm.
You talked about, at the end of the day, we're being human.
Yeah.
So it's all about picking the positives from each and every place and make them, and just diffuse them into our culture.
Sure. When I first got to Juba, when I came back to Juba later on, 2014, in 2017, I came and then so one of the neighbors was celebrating a birthday. In Uganda, where I spent almost half my life, or most of my life, celebrating your birthday be an indoor thing between your family, a few neighbors, perhaps immediate actually, or else you can even go out. Let's assume Notus
mm-hmm.
was in Kampala. You just go to Notus as a family, you celebrate your life, and then you move on, or with some few friends. But when I got here, I was very shocked actually the first time I saw a birthday celebration. You know, the streets of Juba as well arranged very well. So I came back that day. I found out the whole street was blocked already. With a curtain here, curtain the other side. And then so many chairs already in place for people to come and occupy.
Mm-hmm.
And then on finding out that it's a birthday celebration, I was shocked. I was like, wait, so you're blocking the whole street for
a
birthday?
For a birthday.
We love life.
Yeah.
We love life. Let us enjoy.
For a birthday.
Everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that thing really shocked me. It's a very good thing. Like she said, we have the communal setting of living. That is especially the Arabic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the words that I came to learn here also in Juba, that there's someone called an Arabic pattern and then an English pattern, just to distinguish between the two. But I think the best thing that we have got as a nation is we have so many experiences in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
So many people from different nations. I usually say I thank God that we went out or we were sent out. I know the negatives were very bad on our parents, but we as the children who were born in the foreign country or raised in the foreign country, we got to know the different lifestyles of people. And now in Kenya, she has an example. I come from Uganda. I bring what we have on plate. You come from Khartoum, you have your own ways that you were raised. At the end of the day, we get the different ways of solving problems. There are different ways of solving problems. Even in the different countries, we are affiliated to different religions.
Mm.
Those religions also have got different ways of handling things. So at the end of the day, we should actually be more proud that we are South Sudanese who have been reunited back again here. That means that we can have a different view. We have testified. We have seen the A in Kenya. We have seen the B in Uganda. We have seen the C in Khartoum. Now we have a choice to make. Which one is better? But unfortunately, most time we are blinded and we instead choose to go by what we think should be the best option, even when we can see that the other option perhaps may be more efficient. That is something that we should look at. The different options, that's the advantage that we do have, really.
That is true. And I think for me, there was a time where I believe it's because I was raised in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have my family, of course, and other families and communities.
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't really understand what it meant at the time to be South Sudanese. Because
yeah.
I think also as a child, you don't really... And I again, our situation is unique because yeah. at some point we were South Sudanese, we were Sudanese, then we became South Sudanese, then we're living in Kenya, then so it's a bit of a confusion. So yeah. I think also coming, it's a point that we need to realize because also coming to South Sudan, I was like, what's this communal way of life? I don't understand it. You know, why is everybody in my business? I don't understand where that is coming from. But then, as Yar said, at the same time, it's a positive and it's a benefit.
Let me just bring something about the communal way of living.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about the birthday, and then one of the things is in Uganda while we were growing up, you serve on your plate, and you eat on your plate.
Mm.
So when so when I got back, the meal was served, and then
we were waiting for the plate.
I was waiting for the plate. Everyone was already eating, so I looked at my fingers, and then also I looked at everyone who was already eating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt like bringing out, and I was hungry.
So you just had to dig in.
So that is how experiences really can be very, very good for mm-hmm. us, to in all of us, really. Those ways of life, they teach us why we have to eat in one place. We understand as well why your community in East Africa or Uganda, to be specific, ate the way they ate. Different reasons and different years of life as well. One of the things that, though, we should also reconcile is knowing the fact that the other communities are years ahead of South Sudan. I know so many of us, we have been talking about the Khartoum, who lived in Khartoum, and then Kenya and some other region. Even people who lived in South Sudan,
yeah.
Those who never left the country,
yes,
they also have a problem with
mm-hmm. with all the other people who come from outside.
Yes.
And
yeah.
You know, it all goes down to, even politically.
Mm.
It's very funny that people actually judge your contribution to this country based on where you're coming from. So there are South Sudanese who remain in South Sudan believe they have contributed more than the people who left the country. And then there's the fact that they look at people from Khartoum as, you guys sold us out of the country. It's all different ways of looking at it.
And then people rent to Uganda, Gali, Adenas,
Kuafin,
Walejinu.
You know, these are cowards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Junubin who remained here actually believe they played a bigger role than us who were not here.
Yeah.
Not knowing that we all play different roles in different capacities.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's just that we could not all be in South Sudan at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the day, it was all survival for the fittest.
Definitely.
Even when you go back there, there were hardships as South Sudanese. There were hardships that people were going through in Kenya.
Yeah.
We were all judged. I remember in school the entire time,
because
don't mind my height now, when I was in school, I was very tall.
Really?
I was the tallest in my class. And I remember I was judged according to my height.
Mm.
And I was really dark.
Yeah.
So they would look at me as, in fact, they used to call us John Garang.
John Garang.
You'd be walking in the streets and they call you John Garang. So you see, we all went through hardships. Even the people who were in Khartoum, they were racially profiled because they were dark.
Sure.
They were not Muslims. We were literally treated as second-class citizens in Khartoum. The same to you in Uganda.
Yeah.
Most of you probably did not go through that because you were shorter, etc. So it's all about understanding that you're bringing something different to the table from Kenya, positive.
Yeah.
Let's say you're bringing the entrepreneurial side. Kenyans are entrepreneurs. Mm. You're bringing the entrepreneurial side. Mm. What are you bringing from Uganda? Let me hear.
She wanted to call me Bambi.
What are you bringing from Uganda?
Well,
and then
the different.
Whatever.
Everybody's bringing something to the table.
Bringing something to the table.
Yeah.
And
even
the ones who are here are also bringing something to the
table.
So how can we just put it all together to make a better country instead of us looking at each other as enemies?
True.
Because you're seeing the ones who are here are seeing you as you are coming to take away what we worked for.
Mm-hmm,
not knowing that even when you were there, you were actually contributing to the betterment in a different way. In a different way.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
didn't have to remain here to prove that you were doing something.
Sure.
They remained here. We're happy that they're okay and alive when we got back.
Yeah.
But let's not look down on each other because we were not here.
Yeah.
And we did not get the same opportunities.
And I think it's also important that we... Again, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Because from then now we can it's understanding that can we have an open conversation about what is going on? Because right now, as I'm picking from you as well, there are other things that are involved in that.
Sure.
Is that also understanding that, you know, going to a different country was not a luxury.
Yeah.
It was not.
And I'm sure there are many people who understand it as a luxury.
Yeah.
I think if we can just affirm and say that people who didn't go away they considered people who went to the neighboring countries for refuge as people who went looking for better fortunes, or in other words, deserted your own country.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come back, or when we came back, and then you'd be like, I'm a South Sudanese, they'd be like, wait, I thought you ran and left us alone. I thought you said you had a better place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You left us to shed the blood. I was, well, like she said already, much as we, like me of my age, some of us went there, but some of our parents remained behind.
Mm-hmm.
It was a price that we have to pay, living without our parents as well.
Yeah.
Living without our guidance or mothers. Some of them remained here so that they can provide food for the soldiers, so that our fathers can carry the gun, so that our fathers can control and be the spies in whatever places that they were designated to be. At the end of the day, like you said, it's just understanding that the different roles were played. And like from the very beginning, we just have to understand that we are all people. We all lived in different circumstances. Psychologically, we fought. Emotionally, we fought. Like she said, the discrimination that you endure from someone's home.
Mm.
Me, one thing I knew was I was going to come back home, and I will always be home. I will not leave this nation again. Yeah. I left, yes, but now I am back.
By choice.
By choice.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens.
We didn't have a choice when we left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now we have
a choice to
and
come back.
Yeah.
We have a choice and we choose to stay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation, we choose to stay.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, this is great because it also just makes me realize also the different kind of angles that we also have to look at maybe next time.
Mm.
As we discuss further and further on this topic, yeah, is that people, the migration in itself, connecting borders is about bridging gaps,
yeah,
right? The migration itself is a gap that needs to be discussed and needs to be, because there's a lot that was lost during the migration.
Yeah.
There were people that were lost. There were identities that were lost. There were families that were lost, you know?
Right.
And then some people will come with a narrative of you had the luxury of living here. You had the luxury of living there. And something else was also like, you know, we were all, this debate of refugees, of camp refugees and urban refugees,
yes,
which I think is also something that we need to talk about, because it's the same thing, looking for conflict and looking for situations to nitpick, right?
Yeah, yeah,
in the sense of if you lived in the urban
in the
area,
urban areas,
it means you had a better life.
Mm.
So you don't know anybody's story.
So in other words, I would say that what we are doing is to find someone to blame for what we believe we suffered.
Mm.
Even if the person never heard, mentally, the human have a better standing when they have someone to blame. So you find that we blame everyone. Unfortunately, also, people of our same ages are the ones sometimes doing these very things. And then you ask yourself a question, if you are the very ones, maybe I would say, if it is our uncles, I mean the older people, maybe 50 or 60, if they were the one talking, I would understand somehow that perhaps that is trauma or pain or what. But having the same people as well of my same age, perhaps those that lived here, those that went out, and those that did not, well, it speaks a little bit very differently. Mm-hmm. When we go, like you said, you mentioned as well the factor of migration and identity lost. Sometimes I also think that perhaps people who remained here believe that we sold our identity when we left the country. For example, in selling, I mean adopting to the other societies in
Uganda. Succumbing to.
Yeah, yeah. So they believe there's a tendency that we should have remained who we are while living with them. But how possible was that? Given the fact that some of us have stayed for over 10 years or 15 years, how was I going to remain a purely South Sudanese? In the middle of a society that is 20 years or 30 years ahead of the South Sudan.
When you're in Rome, you behave like the Romans.
Yeah.
Where you grow up has an influence on you socially.
Yeah.
The environment has.
The environment,
Because you also have to adapt.
You have to adapt.
You know?
It's like expecting him to go to a restaurant years ago.
Mm.
living, now it's different. Mm. Now I'm sure we can go to anywhere in East Africa and ask for kudra combo.
Yeah.
But it's like expecting him 10 years ago to go and ask for
kudra
or combo, you know? So it's all about adapting.
Yeah.
It goes down to every single thing. It goes down to how, even in our houses, the fourth.
Yeah.
You'd find your our mothers would literally have all this awesome
and the milayas
that are done.
Yeah.
See, it all goes down to all these little things
that
are not done in other countries.
Mm.
And you're expected to come back and
automatically turn around.
You know? Automatically just turn around. We had beans and rice and chapati and dengu, green grams in school.
Yeah.
And then but at home we had the dinka foods.
Yeah. Sure.
Not the dinka food, sorry.
In her household.
In our household.
Mm.
So, your growing up is influenced by where you... I mean, your behavior, your way of talking, your way of dressing...
Of course.
...is literally determined by where you're raised.
Yeah.
And it would be very unfair for every other person to think or to believe that you were going to act the same way as them, because that's what they think is human.
Yeah.
We act differently. Even dressing.
Mm.
Someone who's lived in Khartoum their entire life and has never known that people can dress differently would come and look at me now and think I'm dressing skimpily.
Yeah.
And then she would come wrapped and somebody else would look at them and say, does she know there's a life outside?
Mm.
Why would she be dressed like this in such a country? We have the freedom of expression. We have all sorts of freedoms.
So there's opinions.
There's everything. So it's just about understanding that different cultural norms dictate different ways of living.
Speaking of ideas or ideology, I think it will be also very important to point out this, that living in the East African countries, the East African countries are not so much consumed by the idea. Unlike people that have lived so much with the Arabs. The Arabs are so much, the idea is more important than the person itself. But that's not the idea with the East Africans.
Mm-hmm.
The person comes before the idea. So if the idea breaks the person, this idea is worth dropping. But sometimes we have had instances of people that put the idea in front of the human. When you put the idea in front of a human, that means you're rendering the human useless. And that means he's going to stand in opposition, anything that comes against that idea, be it the dressing. If you put the way of dressing that Aymara should put in a jalabia or something that depicts that kind of life, and you put that as your spring being, nothing will ever change your mind except that you'll fight everything that comes against that. So sometimes also we
can...
becomes
a threat to you.
Yeah. So when that becomes the threat, I think the better word to use is a threat. If they see that this is a threat, that becomes something as the two ways of somehow people can solve that problem. Mm-hmm. One person will neutralize the threat perhaps, and another one will instead of... going and finding out and considering, is this idea really worth dying for?
Mm.
And dropping it. Mm-hmm. But the others will say, I'll not even think about it. This is the right thing and I'm doing it. Whether you like it or not, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. But then at the same time, you know, there's somebody who says, go about your day. Or just because something is your opinion doesn't mean it's a must for everybody else.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, we can be respectful.
Yeah.
We can be cordial.
Agree
we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Life moves on.
Comes
so, unfortunately, we're almost coming to the end of our show today. We only have about 6 or more minutes left. So I just want us to, you know, move into recommendations. You know, what recommendations do you have that we can discuss today across all levels? Across ourselves as young people, across older people, across South Sudanese, across people in other countries, our government, our laws. What are your recommendations moving forward? How can we further understand identities? How can we grow ourselves? How can we develop into the South Sudan that we want.
Be human.
Be human. Yeah. You see, the fact that you're human enough will make you understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you please define human, because some people may not really get the point and say, okay, I've been living a human. Some people may define humanity by just having a breath.
Yeah. When I say be human, I have relatives who've lived everywhere. I have relatives who've lived in Khartoum. I have lived in Khartoum for some part of my life. I was born in Kenya. Yeah. I have relatives who've lived in the US. I have relatives who've lived here. And how I would treat my relatives is how I would want every other person to treat people who are then also not related to.
Yeah.
Because we're all different, you know. It's very unfortunate that we would want to treat our family from Khartoum differently. But then the minute you meet someone who is not your family, you're already looking at them differently.
Yeah.
I would be really excited seeing my cousins coming from Kampala or from each and every other place. But then when I see someone like Dave, I'm thinking, it's Banange now. You know, so it's just bottom line for me is, can we at least be human?
Yeah.
We, South Sudan, we're generally a traumatized nation. Every single person in this country has seen death. We have been born during the war. We have other people have married and lived during the war.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're generally traumatized, can we be kind enough to actually tolerate each other? I might be different from you, but that doesn't mean I'm your enemy.
Sure.
We're the same. Yeah. So let's be human. Let's care for one another. Let's have, I think my parting shot will be, can we start conversations about mental awareness? Can we talk about some of these things and have a conversation at a higher level on the fact that we're traumatized? Once we've actually gotten to that place and we can openly say, Nyadak, I hate you because you've come from Khartoum and I think you had a better life than me. And Nyadak will tell me, no, Yar, you know, my life was not better than you. Yeah. I went through a lot. I was lashed by the Arabs because I was wearing a short skirt. I was done for this. Let's start having these conversations at a different level for us to understand that, hey, you remained here. It's amazing. You did your part. But I also did my part out there. We all suffered to get to where we are today. And if we do not have these conversations moving forward, we're not going to have a country that is culturally diverse and we would not be able to live harmoniously.
Yeah.
And just to add to that quickly, I think I remember when someone put that clip of when we raised the flag and gained independence. And Honorable Abdenagao, the secretary of the government, I hope I got his title right.
Yeah.
And he was saying that we will now be known as the Republic of South Sudan, a multicultural, multi-ethnic. Yes. And he gave this whole speech that was so heartwarming, especially for all South Sudanese.
Yeah.
And that is a moment where I think we will all cherish for the rest of our lives. Because it was also that, I think it was that one moment, that one day, that everything just went out of our heads. It was just like, it is about South Sudan. We have gained our independence finally after how many years?
Yeah.
And we're all in it together to celebrate it. And I know everybody went to the square, and people even who were in other countries, I'm sure, gave their love from wherever it was they were from.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Yara was saying, we are multicultural, we are multi-ethnic, we are so diverse. I mean, we have more than 64 tribes, some we've not even heard of until today.
Yeah.
We don't even know our population. I mean, I think it's at 10 mil based on the 2008 census. So we are hoping for another census soon. Because South Sudanese are all over the place.
Definitely.
And there's nobody as good as us. Dave.
Well, I think I would recommend for more of the gatherings together. However, still, we have seen so many of our gatherings, we end up fighting still as young people.
It goes back to trauma. We're traumatized.
I was going to say that exactly.
We're trauma. That's why people are fighting. It's a trauma. So let's start.
It's a trigger.
Awareness. It's a trigger.
All right. That would be a very good step that will let us stay together without fighting. And as well, I would say that if you believe there is a God, affiliate yourself to a God. I do affiliate myself to the God of the Christian.
Okay.
And there are values there as well that we learn that helps you live as a person in relation to someone who is next to you. I believe many of us, we perhaps get the problems or more difficulty in living with people because you have no affiliation to an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to affiliate yourself to an idea. That idea should be a genuine one that will build the nation, not just any other idea. Ideology is good, but let it not consume you. Yeah.
Uh-huh. For me, I think I'd like to go on a national level, on a government level.
I'd like to hear that.
I don't know what's happening here. I hope you guys are seeing this.
No one's seeing anything.
Yeah, so I want to go on a government level because I remember I had this conversation with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we were also talking about it from a national perspective, in the sense of, like, for example, when we moved into a new country and then it was just like automatically English is the new national language.
Yeah.
We did not put into account that, first of all, we're coming from a country where most people spoke Arabic. So how can you automatically tell people from today we are speaking English?
Yeah.
You know? And then again, back to education system. Yeah. I mean, there was a time I was interning at an organization and I went to do a research.
Yeah.
And it was coming to realize that these teachers were telling us that we speak Arabic. So actually even teaching these kids, we're not exactly sure what they're teaching the kids because they don't speak English themselves. And they're saying that, you know, this has been forced upon us. So I think that there should be a national intervention to just kind of relook the whole situation and the whole strategy, which I believe was not really thought out at the beginning, and incorporate these different aspects that were left out to ensure that as we move on, we actually have something that we can identify with, something that we can relate to. Mm. Because as she was saying, you know, in other countries, you have national songs playing on the radio.
Yeah.
You have some sort of documentary or something that plays on TV that tells you about your cultures and the other cultures in the country.
Yeah.
So can we have more of that that is coming out of our national institutions, our national entities?
Mm.
Can we incorporate that into our social structures, redefine our social structures? And the way Yar was saying, for me personally, I'm really big on mental health and trauma, which I was talking about with an auntie yesterday also, and my mom and a few other people.
Mm.
It's like if we don't get to the healing, we're not going anywhere. We're actually lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to get to the healing first, and after the healing, we can do even more.
Sure. I wish we still had more time. I wanted to respond, but we shall continue.
Trauma. Mental awareness. Let's start the conversation on mental awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start it. Let's embrace each other. I think that should be it. And as he said, God.
Yeah.
David, your parting shot.
My parting shot. Let's be building ourselves, Ejama. Mm-hmm. Mashakil Marquez, there's no need to beef each other. I'm not here to grab your position. Let's compete in a favorite level. You speak Arabic, we compete with my English, no problem. You teach me Arabic, I teach you English. And that's how we can go with it best.
Yeah, and I think let us keep this conversation going. Honestly, for me, it was just that, can we spark it? Can we start something? Mm. And hopefully this can multiply.
Sure.
Take it to a different level.
Sure.
Where's Lupai? We're always saying, I'm looking for that English word.
Which?
I was thinking of let it have a ripple effect is what I was looking for.
Okay, all right.
Because ya jama,
positive ripple effect.
بلد تانا ما هيمشي أي محل ممكن نمشي أي محل تاني نشيل بلد تانا ثاني. It's just not going to happen.
Sure.
So, dear listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this show, keeping us company as we discuss this. I'd like to hear more from you. Our page is I Am Peace Initiative at I Am Peace Pro on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd like to hear your comments any time of the day. We're so excited that you take time out to come and listen to us as well. Just before we go, I'd like to take the last 3-4 comments that we have on our live. We have Okot Bosco, who's watching from Kampala. He says, if we embrace other cultures from outside South Sudan, we shall learn a lot. We have to accept that we are a new country and therefore we must learn from others. We also have Sammy Gabriel, who said, I got 10 years in Khartoum. The neighbors showed me love. Then 10 years in Uganda, the same case. And I have a good relationship with them. But when I came to Juba, people ignore me and they see me as a foreigner, which I don't understand. And unfortunately, that is a feeling that many people have.
Yeah, we all go through that.
We have Angie Mashek Akwochpir, who says, great topic. Thank you, Angie, for listening. We have Laku Emma, who says, interesting conversation. I wish to share something, but it wouldn't be a comment, no more, but a long story. Look, Laku, you can tell us your story on IMPs, but we'd love to hear it. I'm sure I will share it also with our guests and our other listeners as well.
Yeah.
We have Deng Blackstar, who says, I'm enjoying the conversation. Keep it up. Thank you, Deng, for joining us today on Connecting Borders. I have had a great time.
Definitely, I've had.
I wish you guys would come back again. This was fun.
When should we come back?
I don't know. You tell me. When do you want to have me back?
Look at them. Look at them scheduling themselves on my show.
Okay. On let's ask the right question. Yeah. When do you want to have us?
Yeah.
I will call you.
Okay. We wait.
Thank you, Nyada.
As we leave the studio here tonight, I hope you guys have a great Monday. Have a great week ahead of you. I can't wait to see you again next Monday on another episode of Connecting Borders. I'm sure we'll have a great show for you. And the topic, burning. Remember, again, you can catch us on social media. Give us your comments. Give us your thoughts. And listen, be kind. Be human. Mm-hmm. Be supportive. Mm-hmm. South Sudan warrior.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great night, everybody. See you. Jinadil, the yatu no tajil, ana asa isimto, higal sara, hiya gale ana hiya fi haitarawa, matara serike lana ruwa babiraha, ashen kida mafi daya kedana warisa raha, unie tae kulu fela ana hibita, gelba tae basalita galo derita, ashen kida mafi daya kedana kabasita, kedana jibu mine haya ana gibu ita, yela kida, kida le ida, bete nina bete takum, buku rabi kunte tak.